Welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Alwell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're checking in with the Instagram account Dumois, which reminds me of what Manon. I'm doing my French accent.
I need more of it. Oh my God.
National Treasure starring Nicolas Cage.
Fabulous cringe mode. Really yes. Good one.
And we're doing some DMs from the good old teabag.
Guys, this is going to be a good episode. Please follow us on Twitter. We're at teatime_33. And then you guys know I love our Instagram account. It's at teatimepod. And we're going to try to like keep up a little bit more, like talking about the DMs you send us and like really airing them out. So just follow us, you know, send us messages. We like to read them. Okay, before we get into the show, let's take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
All right. Tea Time is checking in with an Instagram account I literally had no knowledge of up until like 2 weeks ago. My friend Suhi sent me it, tipped me off. I think all of us now follow it. We're talking about Dumois, which is like very viral right now. People are writing about it. In the pandemic, it's like extremely blown up in popularity. So general info about this Instagram account for those who don't know. Kate, do you want to like take a stab? I can also do this.
Sure. So Dumois is a blind gossip Instagram account. And for those of you who don't know, blind gossip sites are like people just send in tips like, oh, you know, I had an encounter with Jennifer Aniston one time. She was really nice to my dog. Or, you know, I heard that from a friend who slept with Leonardo DiCaprio that he wears headphones in bed. You know, it's
love
like the range of topics.
Yeah.
Blind gossip sites have been around forever. Dumois is kind of like the latest buzzy iteration of it, partially because the woman who runs it does it all on Instagram stories. So all of her tips that come in, and she says she gets like 300 to 500 tips a day. She probably posts, what, 75 a day, would you guys say? Maybe
basically
more?
All day long. I'm on an Instagram account from 9 to 5.
Yes.
And then longer.
Yeah. So she just curates these stories. She tries to post things that she thinks sound real, but it like very much is a disclaimer. It's like, you know, anyone can send these in. So like these are not verified in any way.
Right.
She has 373,000 followers, and she just really, she had the account for a long time, but just kind of turned it into its current format during the pandemic when she had a lot more time on her hands. And yeah, it is absolutely addicting. It's just really great. And it's legit sometimes, and sometimes it's not, which is really part of the fun. But yeah, it's really great.
Amelia, have you followed this account for long? Like, who was the one out of Tea Time that has like the most knowledge of this before, like, I don't know, a week ago? Have you followed this before, Amelia?
Yeah, well, I think, so my friend sent it to me like a month or so ago, I think. And then I think you sent a DM to all of us, and I was like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, do you follow this Dumois? And you're like, my friend sent it to me. And I was like, oh, you guys, you should, it's really fun. It's a cool account. And then you all were like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. And then I think finally, I don't know what it was necessarily. I think I sent something else or something happened. And then you're like, okay, I guess we'll try. And then, I'm just kidding. But, and then I think you guys did, you were like, yo, this is account is addicting. So, and
I was the last one on board.
Of
shockingly.
Course, Mr. Grinch. Yeah.
I'm all in now.
Now a bulk of our group chat and Slack conversations are all around screenshots of this Instagram account. So Kate like talked us through, The Cut did this great piece as like general info. And then Paper Magazine also did an interview with this anonymous person, kind of just ran through a lot of the things that Kate, you've already mentioned. But yeah, the beauty in this account is like, it's the mundane. It's like Jennifer Aniston's coffee order. It's Timothée Chalamet biking all over New York City. People can't get enough. It's not like, there's some like bigger stories that's like, this is going to come out later, XYZ affair. But it's different than like Crazy Days and Nights, which Amelia, I think you follow, that I still don't like really know.
It's really intense. Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah,
like
yeah.
This is kind of like low level, low stakes stuff, right?
For the most part, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what are your favorite tidbits that you've seen on this account? There's a lot because there's like a million stories a day. But what is like some of the standouts?
I like the things that are so random that you know they're true. You know, like the celebrities you would never think to make something up about, or like the specific encounters that like various people have had and where like you kind of know that it's true. Mm-hmm. One thing that I really enjoyed is over the past couple of weeks, she's had several people send in accounts of having seen Will Ferrell power walking on a treadmill in a gym wearing his own merch. So like wearing like free shirts he got from like movies he's done. And he's just always speed walking. Like he doesn't run. He just speed walks in the gym. And it's just things like that, you just did not know, that just feel right. You know,
but this is gotta like, and then you start thinking that these are bits, like Will Ferrell very clearly has a home that with a gym, right? And he's like choosing to go into public. So it's a very nice like way to spy on these like weird celebrity lives. Cause I feel like, I mean, the average person doesn't see any celebrity like really right. ever. So it's super fun. Like Jason Segel, and a lot of people wrote in about him, used to be like a very active community member of Ojai, which is like a very small town in California, kind of like 2.5 hours away. Very small. Like it's kind of like a vacation destination, like for Southern California. But yeah, he used to be like a participant and like watched the local theater performances and like was like a very active member of this very small community in California, which is again, so random. It has to be true.
Right.
And I just love the idea of him like walking these tiny streets, engaged in this community.
Really great.
The other tidbit that like actually knocked me off my feet was she kind of creates this world with like nicknames of like repeat either offenders or write-ins or whatever. So STT is one of those things where it's like known in the world of Dumois, and it's in reference to Adrian Grenier, because one time a woman slid into his DMs and she sent him a selfie of her drinking a smoothie. And he blocked her because she was drinking out of a plastic straw.
Wow.
And this is not the first time that he has done this, apparently. Like one or two other times, he's gotten really pissed about the straw usage of like women in his DMs. So now she calls him STT, which is Save the Turtles, which I just really enjoy.
It's the Dumois like mythology.
Exactly. You know,
it's the world building of Dumois.
Exactly. And then the other last thing I kind of really get a kick out of is like all the TikTok drama, of course. There's a lot of like rumors about these relationships being super manufactured, and I 100% believe them.
Yeah. All the fake relationship stuff is really good as well. There was one a couple weeks ago about it was a blind item, but it was about an A-list male star and a rising female star who had been going on a lot of walks and haven't been seen much lately because it went on for a lot longer than they thought that it would. So they're reorganizing their strategy. Really enjoyed that one.
Wow. Wait, COVID went on much longer?
Yes.
Wow. Damn.
Oh, Amelia, what do you like on Dumois?
I'll be honest, you know, I just love reality TV stars, and because I'm trash, but also because they give some good Bachelor updates. I'm just like too in this world, and I'm loving the Dale updates. Dale on dates updates. If you know who Dale is, Kate doesn't because she doesn't watch, but
I do because I'm on Dumois.
Yeah, true. Dale Moss, who ran away with Claire Crawley, the Bachelorette, for the first portion of the Bachelorette this season. And they're saying that he's been on dates with random ladies in New York City, and someone even decided to call out his name just to make sure it was him. And he looked, and it was a blonde lady that was not Claire.
Oh, Yeah, he's been photographed everywhere. But then, then so you read that stuff and then like they were just photo paparazzi, quote unquote, like walking the streets of, I think, New York, like kissing in like probably Central Park or some dumb thing. Right. It makes me very dubious about all this shit. Are there any celebrities, now that we spent all day on it, that are just written about too much and like you'd actually prefer less of that content?
There are some celebrities where I'm like, why are people sending in tips about this person? I don't care who or what or where they are. One of them is Dave Portnoy, who I like just barely have an understanding of who that is. But I know he's not a celebrity. And you just can't make me go from like, oh, I have this crazy story about Brad Pitt to Dave Portnoy's in Kentucky at a bar. Like, I just can't. I don't need to know
so
that.
True.
No one does.
A lot of Dave Portnoy Kentucky stories. For some unknown.
Oh my God. Who cares?
And that name, Dave Portnoy. Like, are you kidding
me? Yeah, I just swipe right through those ones.
Yeah.
As you should.
Okay. I don't know if you guys will agree with me. I'm pretty sure maybe Amelia will. The amount, and then it feels like mostly young women who write about Timothée Chalamet biking all over New York City every goddamn day, taking a blurry photo of him two blocks away of his like a hoodie that they also saw later that day on a different like little Instagram. Everyone's stalking Timothée Chalamet in like the West Village or wherever the hell he is. And it's got to stop. Let him ride his bike. Let him chill.
It's a lot. It's too much. It's like, okay, let me know if he does anything else. But the bike riding, we get it.
I know it's dry out there with celebrity news, but like him going on another bicycle ride on a Tuesday, I don't need to know about.
Yeah.
Okay. Is Dimwan, your guys' opinion, better or worse in its current format than like the usual blind gossip way? I don't have a lot of knowledge on like other methods, but I feel like you guys do too. Like, what makes this account stand out?
I love the Instagram stories format because like the other sites are like actual websites. I think other places are like on Twitter and TikTok, but like, I just think Instagram stories, you're just swiping anyway, just like not really believe it. Nothing is quite real on Instagram anyway. You know, everything is taken with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like the perfect execution. They disappear in 24 hours. Like you never remember what the specifics were. You just know that you heard one time that Jennifer Aniston is nice to dogs. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just, it's ephemeral. And it just disappears and there's just leaves behind a little like legend, a little memory.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, I agree. Although with the amount of things that they get, Kate, aren't you a little dubious about like just anyone can submit a story? Like she even acknowledged this in her Paper Magazine interview where she was like, this is why it's unverified and it's just kind of like out in the world. You can do with it what you will. Because she sometimes thinks that like publicists will send her like a very targeted story, quote unquote. So I always like take things with a grain of salt, although I'm very naive. So
absolutely. And I like also that she provides commentary. Like sometimes she'll be like, do you guys think this is true? And include something that she got or like she'll send something. And then like if somebody sends a contradictory story, like it went back and forth on a couple people like in the past couple weeks, like Amy Schumer. Got absolutely lambasted with like
Emma Watson.
Emma Watson had people were like, she was an asshole to everyone on the set of Little Women. And then other people were like, that's not true. I've worked with her before. She's been really nice. And she like posts, I think, both sides of everything, which is nice because it's not just like she's deciding that Amy Schumer is an asshole. And so she's like, just going to post those. So I like that you get the good and the bad stories. So you can kind of like create a fuller, illusion of whoever
image
these people
of someone,
are. But I'm definitely, there are certain ones that I'm really dubious of that do seem just like too out there or like too planted by certain places.
That is really funny. I actually, that reminded me, I have like, I've heard Emma Watson stories and I've heard like one really good one and really bad one. And this was like a few years ago. So, it just shows that
people are complicated.
People are really complicated. Yeah. And
who
I appreciate
among us
that.
Doesn't have good and bad stories about them.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right.
Definitely. You know, and I also like how it's really easy to submit the gossip too. You just DM this woman. And, you know, what I like about it more than just like the blind item format is that it's just kind of a submission to like, and sometimes, like you said before, these aren't blind. They're like, actually, like, I saw Jennifer Aniston, you know, feeding a goat at a party or something like that. And I think also to the whole point where it's easier to kind of take everything in and it disappears for 24 hours, old blind item websites, which like, I don't know if you guys, I mean, I used to go on them a lot and I just, it was hard. You know, I'm really bad at guessing and I would just get really yes. frustrated and just yes. close my browser and be angry.
Yes, Amelia.
Yes.
The riddles of these oh. stupid blind items, it's why I can't engage them. And exactly. we're about to go into more reasons why I hate riddles in the next category. But the riddles of like, this, and like there's a little code name and a little secret. Yes. It takes you yes. brain power. Give me their coffee order. Give me their oh like my whatever. God. Pizza, toppings. Yes. Don't make me guess. What celebrity gossip?
Don't make me guess. And also it's like each person has a different way they categorize actors by like A-list, B-list. So your A-list could be different yes. than mine. And you know what? Sorry, not to really get into this, but I was more into this like in high school. And Ted Casablancas from E back in like the 2000s had, I'm not even joking, look this up, Google Toothy Tile. I want to know who Toothy Tile is. And I've been wanting to know for 15 years. Okay, thank you. But also, wow. yes, C-Dan,
Crazy
Days of Nice. That was
a riddle that went unsolved.
For yes, you? Toothy Tile case? Is like this. It's a blind item cold case. We don't know who Toothy Tile is. I just want to know who Toothy Tile is.
Amelia, re-up this story. I want our listener input. I want to figure this out for you. I want closure for you.
You should send it to Dumois and be like, can you find out who Toothy Tile is?
Exactly. It's like, I don't even care about blind item gossip from today. I just want it from like 15 years ago. I want to know who Toothy Tile is. I want to go through the archives of Crazy Days and Nights. You guys yeah. need to go there. I mean, yeah. it's pretty, it's like a Blogspot website. It's almost as bad as Reality Steve's website. It's just
teabaggers. This is Amelia's cry for help. Help us figure out Please. This riddle. We'll post it somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Okay, let's do it. Let's dive right in. More riddles. We're doing Cringe Mode, National Treasure, a 2004 classic. How this came to be every week is a mystery to me. Whose idea was
this? We got suggestions for this okay. on social media. And then this week we were like, what should we do for Cringe Mode? It was like Monday. And I was feeling more patriotic than I have for the yes, past 4 years. And I said, yes. what if we did National Treasure? Because America sucks less now. So we did National Treasure. Because why not? Everyone needs a little Nick Cage in their lives every now and then.
Hell yeah. Yeah, Cringe Mode knows no genre, knows no bounds. We'll cover literally anything.
We can do movies starring men sometimes.
Yeah.
Once every 30 pods.
Yeah, there are no rules here. Okay, I feel like everyone honestly knows the plot of National Treasure. It like might not even be worth talking about. Nicolas Cage has to steal the Declaration of Independence. Then there's a wild goose chase, a lot of action.
It, yeah.
Is that it? Like he's
that's
like
it.
A treasure hunter or whatever the hell he calls himself. Okay.
Yep. That's it.
He is a treasure hunter.
Let's do the highlights because there are so many. Go ahead, Amelia. Yes.
You know, this movie is PG. And honestly, for a PG movie from Disney, this is a legitimately solid heist slash thriller. You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say the sequel is actually even better.
No, is it? I haven't watched the sequel.
Oh, I really enjoyed the sequel.
Should we do it for cringe mode?
I think
we'll think about it.
Okay. The plot is fun. Like stealing the Declaration of Independence. That's a fun plot. I don't know.
So and, good.
You know? And also yeah. I really like, because it is PG and they can't really swear, they have moments where like the Harvey Keitel character, like Nicolas Cage ends up in the river and he has to be, and he's like, you know, in any other movie be like that fucking guy. But he's like that smart fish, which is like, what? Just because he can't swear. So.
Right. We watch this all on Disney Plus, which says a lot.
Yeah.
That says all you need to know.
My highlight from this movie is that it basically invented the concept of galaxy brain. Because yes. Nick Cage, when he gets these clues, he goes into like these monologues where he sits down and he's like, the iron pen. And then he's like, it can't just be an iron pen. The pen is capitalized, so pen is a name, and iron represents blood. And in the 18th century, blood represented blah, blah, blah. And then he like spouts off like 17 different historical facts and then finds out that
iconic.
It means, like, I don't know, some random city somewhere. And it's just incredible to watch other people watch him do this. And just have them be like, what is this guy doing? And it's really, really funny and really great. And just nobody but Nick Cage, you know? Nobody else could
truly.
Pull that off.
That personally is a low light, but we could talk about that.
We'll get to that.
My
we'll
personal opinions
that.
Later. Yeah. What else?
And then my other highlight is just an iconic moment in cinema. They're in wherever the Declaration of Independence is kept. They're looking at it. And the concept is there's a map on the back. Somebody else is going to steal it. So he has to take it in order to protect it. Another right. galaxy brain moment. And he's just looking at it and the music swells and he goes, I'm going to steal it. And then he just walks away and poor Justin Bartha is with him. Is like, what the fuck? that moment is bested only by the gift shop gag where he gets out after the Declaration heist. He tries to walk through the gift shop with the Declaration of Independence and he has to pay for it because the woman working there thinks that he was trying to shoplift a fake Declaration of Independence.
Right.
Just iconic gag.
So good.
Really He's, good.
It's just so his good. His role is ripe for parody. And one of my favorite parodies is Andy Samberg's impression of him on SNL. Have you guys ever seen that?
Yeah, I watched it after you put it in here.
Yeah.
It's really good.
it's really. And oh my God, I love Andy Samberg. But he's just so funny. And there's a way he says, look out. And it just, I don't know, it kills me. I think it's so funny. But anyway, yeah.
I think a through line of like all of these categories is just like Nicolas Cage just transcends in so many ways. I also do think that Justin Bartha provides a certain je ne sais quoi to this dynamic. I actually think there's more sexual tension between Justin Bartha and Nicolas Cage as like the two-T kind of than perhaps like Nicolas Cage with Diane Kruger, the love interest, which I know, Amelia, you kind of agree with me on.
Yeah.
But yeah, Justin Bartha, just a great addition to this movie and like ensemble, I would say.
Really good comic relief. Also, it takes a lot to have like a two-man heist. Like usually in a heist movie, you want a bunch of people like working on it.
Right.
And Justin Bartha has to be like the tech guy, the comic relief, the guy who's in his ear. You know what I mean? Like
Ocean's 13 could literally never.
Literally
Nicholas
never.
Seriously. He did it with two.
He's playing so many roles, doing so many things, and he pulls it all off.
He does. As for some lowlights, you guys know I got to get specific. The man's name is Benjamin Franklin Gates, which like is revealed very early on in the movie. And I know that it's like a family thing. His whole lineage is like these treasure hunter truther people. But I just feel like that was a bit on the nose.
Luckily, a little bit.
No one refers to him as Benjamin Franklin Gates. It's like only a couple times through the movie. But yeah, I just feel like they could have maybe made it a little bit more subtle. Maybe make that the riddle.
Also, the name treasure hunters that they use, that's a little on the nose.
Is that right? I kind of
know it is, I think. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also think that the movie, Liz said this kind of before, you know, it would have been absolutely fine. By that, I mean better. Without the romance going on between Nicolas Cage and Diane Kruger, there was no romance. Nothing.
First of all,
no sparks.
It's
no chemistry.
Just not believable. Diane Kruger is way too hot to be an academic. She's way too hot to be looking at Nicolas Cage in that hairpiece the way that she does. And they just have some awkward moments. First of all, she's like, he steals the Declaration of Independence from where she works. And then she catches him. And then suddenly she's like on their team. And I didn't quite get how that happened. And then they have like an awkward moment where they both breathe on the Declaration of Independence. to release the map, like, because they have to put heat on the map, and they're so close to each other. And I just can't tell you how much I would not want to smell Nicolas Cage's breath ever in the world. And that was all I could think about, was like, damn, poor Diane Kruger just getting a face full of whatever is happening with Nicolas Cage at this moment in time. And yeah, I just did not enjoy that.
There were even a couple kisses that they had to do where it was like supposed to be big dramatic. They could die. They're like in peril. And I honestly think if you watch it, Diane Kruger's back kind of like goes a little bit because she just instinctively is like, please, she's too good for him.
She's not in the second one, right? She didn't come back.
I think she is in the second
is
one.
She?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I'm pretty sure.
Honestly,
yeah.
Good for her. Good for her.
You know,
she committed.
Yeah.
She did. She got that check. This movie also has big escape room energy.
And yes.
I don't really like that. No. I like it because the solution and the solve is like kind of right there in the scene. Nicolas Cage like figures a lot out on the fly. But the whole watching someone, and I've actually, to be honest, never been to an escape room. I imagine this is what it's like. You're watching one person take charge and basically like spoken word your way through kind of like a sentence, or you're like what Kate was doing, I kind of don't want to do it again. You kind of piece together all these random ass thoughts that truly have no through line. And then you're like, equals map. And you're like, okay. And I just, the whole riddles thing, I think I'm just maybe not good at it. I don't like blind item riddles, and I don't like national riddles. So
I agree.
Same.
I think this movie just peaks during the Declaration heist. A third of the way into the movie, they steal the Declaration of Independence. How are you going to top that? And I don't think that they do. Then they spend the rest of the movie like running away with the Declaration of Independence. But you can't put the heist midway through the movie and then expect it to get better after that. I just don't think that's possible. The heist is always the best part of any movie that includes a heist. And yeah, it just doesn't recover the momentum.
Totally. I think that's why you need to watch Book of Secrets. But yeah, sorry. Anyway.
Is Book of Secrets the second one?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, to be honest, my memory of this movie was that the whole movie was the heist. And then it was like 35 Same. Minutes in. I was like, interesting. What happens now? talking about that very heist and just Justin Bartha basically like pulling a lot of strings. He is in the van as Nicolas Cage is inside about to steal it. Doing a lot of heavy lifting. Right. Did you guys notice that Justin Bartha had no camera setup? He only had an earpiece, and like Nicolas Cage had no. I just think with the technology and the level of security that they needed to break through, and Justin Bartha's like, "What are you looking at? What was that? What's that noise?" And I'm like, "Justin, set up like a cam, like on his suit." It feels like even in 2004, we were capable of that kind of espionage.
You would hope,
right? Yeah. That didn't feel that accurate.
Very authentic. No, not at all.
Last lowlight.
My last lowlight, I just have to run this by you guys. I could be wrong, but this is a PG movie. And at the end of the movie, you know, they've won. They found the treasure. They have their house. Justin Bartha rides off in a red car. And Diane Kruger hands Nick Cage a piece of paper. And he's like, she's like, it's a map. And he's like, to where? And she gives him this look. Like a very like raised eyebrows look.
Wow.
And then like scampers off into their house, their shared house, because now they're together. And Nicolas Cage looks at the map and like does like a little like jolt and then like dashes after her into the house and is like, map to where? You'll have to find out. That's a sex joke, right?
I guess.
Does this movie end with a sex joke? That's what I'm asking.
100%.
Is the map to the bedroom? That's absolutely what it implies.
Yes.
Oh my God.
He dashes after her into that house with the speed of 1,000 cars.
Didn't love that. Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't know that I enjoyed that. That's quite the choice to end a family film.
I think he was like, what's the treasure? Or like, what's at the end of that? Yeah. And it was this weird, sultry look. And I was just like, you deserve better, Diane Kruger, than Sarah Nicholas Cage.
That's the takeaway.
Agreed. Okay. What has aged the best and the worst in your guys' opinion? Amelia, you want to take it first?
Yeah, you know, this is neither good nor bad. You can make an argument for either. But rewatching this movie, it kind of gives me like a 2000s procedural drama on Fox or CBS. Kind of like, have you ever seen House?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like House or Numbers with a 3. Do you remember
that one? I've also seen Numbers.
Yeah. Even the background music is like one of those like, you know, and you're just like, oh yeah. And then they have the galaxy brain stuff going on. There's always like a Cervant guy and it's just like, oh wow, this is
yeah,
like, this
that's the connection is like everyone else is watching the genius like come up with some sort of insane theory. Everyone doubts him and then he's right. Yeah,
exactly.
It's definitely that format,
you know, which is just like now looking back, I was like, okay, this wasn't as like cool as I remember it being. Right. But it's fine.
I would say this aged the worst. I know this is a controversial take. Nicolas Cage has not aged well in the 16 years since this film.
Physically.
He has physically just melted. And he looks great in this movie, I thought. I was like, wow, Nick Cage, like you're an action star. You go get that girl. Not like good enough for Diane Kruger. But like, you know, to a certain extent.
Sure.
Yes. And then I looked him up. I looked up Nicolas Cage 2020 and it was just really tough. It's a tough, I know it's been 16 years. That's a long time. But, you know, Tom Cruise still looks good.
Yeah, in my head, Nicolas Cage actually still looks like the National Treasure Nicolas Cage. I think it's something about his performance is so cemented in my brain. I can't see anything else. Maybe it's a dash of Andy Samberg as well, who's younger. So like his face is also in there. But I don't want to Google image Nicolas Cage.
Don't.
Yeah.
You don't want to.
What else?
Also age the worst. You know, this year, like especially with Hamilton, there's been a lot of reckoning with the founding fathers and, you know, this things. They were people and they were a product of their time and they weren't, you know, perfect people as this movie thinks that they were. And there's a line in this movie where they come into this huge, you know, treasure room and somebody goes, how did they build this? You know, obviously, like they were in the whatever 1700s. And someone goes, same way they built the pyramids. And the Great Wall of China. And I 1000% thought they were going to go slave labor.
Oh my God.
And they didn't. They just stopped there. Like apparently, you know, the ingenuity of human creativeness. I don't know. But yeah, there was just no, you know.
Yeah.
No,
it was, oh my God.
No acknowledgement of that.
Yeah. It was a very pregnant pause and almost like to add like depth and like weight to this like amazing site. And I was like, yeah, but... Yeah,
who built it? Who built it?
Right.
So yeah, just you know, this movie is you know all about America and the founding fathers and just building them up. And I would say that as a concept has not aged particularly well.
Right. Perhaps this was too patriotic for us this week.
A little bit. And also, it's aged the worst was my viewing experience. Let me take you back to 2005. I was in fifth grade. And I was coming back from a field trip on a Greyhound bus to National Landmark, the Rainforest Cafe in Chicago, Illinois. And, you know, we were like 50 kids on a bus and they put on the movie National Treasure. I had never seen it.
On the bus?
If you're on the bus, you know those like 6-inch screens where there's like one screen every three rows?
Yes.
And like you can kind of see it and you can kind of hear the one behind you, but you can't do both. And that was how I first watched National Treasure. And I just think if you have not watched National Treasure on the way back from the Rainforest Cafe, mid 50 screaming kids, you just haven't really experienced it. So this, it just didn't hit the same this time
around. I'm going to provide a counter argument and say my part, which aged the best right after, because it makes sense to say it now. I think this is an eternally good movie to watch with your family, with your kid cousin, with like a roommate when you're bored and you kind of want like a comfort watch, but on a little like thrill. I just think it's a good rock solid movie option for eternity. There's not a lot that like, like there's not a lot of CGI or anything like that. That's like,
true.
Like that.
Practical effects. That's the move.
Agreed. And Amelia, what's the last thing?
Oh, you know, the whole daylight savings time was invented around World War I. Like that's where I learned that little fact was from this movie. And I actually used it the other week with my friend, but I said World War II accidentally, so I guess it didn't super hold up.
It got you halfway there.
Halfway, one of the world wars, you know? So
it's fine.
Okay, you guys, who is your MVP pick for this movie?
I mean, Nicolas Cage, come on. This is a Nicolas Cage movie. You know? I mean, he's on the poster. He's the guy everyone remembers stealing the Declaration of Independence. It's just, it wouldn't be half the film without him. So
it is. He's legitimately pretty good in it, actually.
No, he's a good actor. Yeah. And he's just, I think people also ironically are like, oh, National Treasure, love that movie because it's Nicolas Cage. And that's like kind of, which is not necessarily a great thing. But it's just, you know what? I don't know if I would have enjoyed this movie with really anyone else, but we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that in a moment. My MVP, I was going to say, was Justin Bartha because I had such a crush on him and his dumb glasses. The first time that I saw this on the Greyhound bus, nice. You know, he's just like fun and charming and young. Unfortunately, upon rewatching, now it's Sean Bean for me. wow. Sean Bean is the bad guy in this movie. It's pretty young Sean Bean, very like, you know, 16 years before Game of Thrones, et cetera. I guess 10 years before Game of Thrones. And he's got this horrible long blonde hair. His name's Ian. He's a bad guy. He shoots a lot of people. He's really mean. And I was like, hello, Sean Bean. What's
wow.
up? What's up?
Yeah, I think I would have probably said something different the first time I watched this, but now my answer is Diane Kruger. There is something so otherworldly and and just like mysterious and kind of like global about her. She transcends this very basic American movie. And maybe it's because I've watched a lot of like international movies.
Sure.
I know how many languages she speaks, whatever. I just got to give it to her. And shout out to her chewed ass cuticles. There is a close-up of her holding this thing, and I cannot believe I like really just I don't know, it's very clearly like Diane Kruger's hands. And while this was probably not like a production decision and just maybe an oversight, I was like, yes, this is a real woman with real anxiety, which is her cuticles.
Oh my god. That not a lot of things like really make my stomach turn, but like chewed cuticles. That Amelia. Sounds so painful. I would do it, but I don't have that high of a pain tolerance.
Okay, let's do the lightning round. Who came up with these?
I think just Amelia.
Yeah. Amelia, fucking go for it.
Okay, could this movie have starred anyone but Nicolas Cage? And I said, honestly, maybe Tom Cruise in another universe.
I think he's the closest one. He's the closest, like, over the top.
Yeah.
Action star, but also
kind of a caricature of himself.
Right. Yeah. I think it has to be someone goofier than Tom Cruise, though, because like he's an academic, you know, he's like a nerd. He's trying to convince people that there's a map on the back of the Declaration of Independence. He's spouting off these monologues and like Tom Cruise is fucking crazy. So like he could do like a crazy monologue and he could get that part of it. But I think he also has to just be like really goofy and smart. Right. And I don't know if Tom Cruise has that in him.
I see your Tom Cruise and I raise you a Viggo Mortensen.
That's a good one.
Lord of the Rings Viggo Mortensen energy, but more like Hidalgo, where he's like the underdog and needs to fucking get it done. And he does against Hidalgo. All odds.
That is around this time period, but he is off like mid Lord of the Rings. When this movie came out.
That's a great one. That's a really good choice.
Thank you.
I think he's too hot. I disagree. I think Viggo Mortensen was too hot.
Speak for yourself. Some people think.
At this point in time, post Aragorn.
Okay.
Too hot.
Whatever, wow. Kate.
That's my take.
Okay. If you could build a ride at Disneyland using the same, using a scene from this movie, what would it look like? And I said it would be the scene when they're all in the cave with Sean Bean and the other evil people and all the floors are falling out from underneath them. Do you remember that scene? And it would just be like one of those like, whoa, rides where it's like, it would be really good for promotional videos, I think, you know, and it and people would be like, oh my God, it's scary. And you'd be like in a little cart. You'd have to be in carts, which is fine.
Totally.
But like, with like family members and it would just be like kind of rickety, but also fun. And there would be falling rocks, but they you know, wouldn't hit you. Yeah. It'd be like kind of Indiana Jones, the Indiana Jones ride, but like 2.0.
This movie like really low-key ripped off Indiana Jones, just for the record.
You know what? Agreed. Agree.
Yeah. I feel like the other action sequences like don't really lend themselves to ride like sprinting through a Philly graveyard and like nose diving in, off of a bridge into a body of water. So I completely agree with your choice, Amelia.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I wrote mine before Liz put hers in, but I also had an escape room in mind. I don't know if Disneyland does escape rooms, but I mean, it just automatically lends itself to the escape room format.
That one's free, Disney.
Yeah.
I honestly feel like this movie could be remade in like the next several years. It's just ripe for.
Yeah, I mean, if Gossip Girl can have a reboot, so can National Treasure.
We'll talk about that in a second. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Who was the best cameo/second character appearance? And this is out of John Voight, Harvey Keitel, Christopher Plummer, or Eric King, who was Dokes from Dexter. Do you remember that?
I didn't watch Dexter, so no.
Well, then, never mind. Just tell me your person.
But I know you were excited about that. Sorry to bring you down.
It's okay.
Basically, I said that I would believe literally any story Christopher Plummer told me. He is Nicolas Cage's grandpa. He's only in the very beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. He tells him about this treasure, and then Nick Cage spends his entire life trying to find the treasure. And I just think I would be skeptical if anyone but Christopher Plummer was telling me this in his very deep voice, like staring at me with his eyes. Yeah. I'd be like, wow, damn, I too will dedicate my life to finding this treasure.
Yes, I think that's a great answer. I agree. But I will say it was fun to see Dokes from Dexter. Okay, sorry. Yes.
Happy for you.
Thank you.
I wrote in an answer, and no, I know that that's not allowed, but
this is great.
My pick for cameo is a woman named Annie Paris, or Paris. She had one single line in National Treasure. She was like one of the FBI agents who came to, you know, assess the scene after Nicolas Cage steals the Declaration of Independence. But she is one of the best friends in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. And How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days was in 2003, and then this movie was 2004. So it's kind of a step down since she only had one line, and maybe she got parts cut out. Maybe it was supposed to be a bigger role. Saw that woman, was like, I know her. Unfortunately, not a lot of other IMDb credits. Got a couple movies. But yeah, I really enjoyed seeing this random actress who I love.
That's nice. I like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then finally, what is the worst wig / hairstyle out of John Voight's wig in the opening scene, Nick Cage's hairpiece throughout the entire film, and Sean Bean's bleached blonde?
Oh, right? They're all so bad.
Yeah.
I gotta give it to the Cage hairpiece. Listen, he dives into water. He gets like trampled by like dust and dirt. It goes like it survives Diane Kruger's hands. It survives a heist. It's been through a lot, and it came out the other side looking almost as bad as it started. So I gotta give it to the Cage hairpiece.
Do you think there were several hair pieces used throughout the film, or was it just one?
I would say several, unless he wears one like all the time. Like 24/7?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he brought it from home.
That could have happened.
Probably several. I would say several. Yeah.
Sure. I'm going to argue that the hair piece is like, it's just like that's a given to Nicolas Cage. So, I mean, yes, I agree. It was pretty bad. But the John Voight wig in the beginning where he was trying to be quote unquote younger and it was like PC and like maybe not like white. It was like, I think brownish, blondish. It was just like unexpected. I was like, oh, so this is how you're making him younger. You're not going to give it to a whole different actor. You're just going to be like, here, we found this hair piece in the costume department and you're going to put it on and then you're just going to make a little cameo and then we'll get rid of it later. You know?
Right. Yeah. All of these hair pieces had such great volume. Like, I could not get over that. They all, like, truly have been blown out, which I'm choosing to believe in this world Nicolas Cage does every morning before he, like, goes on another little adventure of his. So I can't choose. My answer is all of them and their volume.
That's it.
Drop that routine. Okay. Let's move on to the next category. Let's do Tea Time's unanswerable questions. And then we got one more bonus category after that. Mm. So, Kate, start us off.
All right, we're going to burn right through these. The Weeknd is doing the halftime show. They just announced it. My unanswerable question is The Weeknd a big enough deal to do the Super Bowl halftime show in 2021? I say no.
I say no.
Someone thought he was, I guess. I think we talked about this in Slack, but a lot of his songs are pretty explicit. So I don't really know how they're going to pull this off.
That's one part of it. Two, just like he's popular with a totally different demographic than watches the Super Bowl. Like it would make more sense to me if they were like, The Who are coming back to do it again. I'd be like, totally, that's stupid. Right. But also like everyone who watches the Super Bowl knows them. Yeah. I don't know if the average Super Bowl watcher can name three songs by The Weeknd. Obviously he has huge songs. Like he's extremely popular, but like, I don't know. He's not Bruno Mars, you know?
That's very true. I also feel like insert John Bon Jovi for like the ninth time. Right. Like The Weeknd, you're right. He's very famous. Like, his songs on TikTok have really blown up. He's like very, very, very popular. But yeah, I agree. Not a very
Super Bowl. I don't know. It's a weird fit for me. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. He'll be good. He's a good performer.
Yeah.
All right. Next question.
I just finished finally watching Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I'm a big fan of the show, but I was putting off the final season, the fourth and final season, and I just finished it. And I was thinking, you know, why aren't more TV shows just four seasons long? It just, you know, just don't let them get bad, kind of.
I don't know if you guys know this, but I used to watch Supernatural, and it's on like its final 15th season right now. And I bailed after season 5, which felt like I've seen so much Supernatural and I haven't even seen a third of the show. Like, no one will start Supernatural in 2020 and be like, great, 15 seasons. Like, here we go. This is the rest of my life.
Yeah.
It should be 4 or under.
That's how I feel about Grey's Anatomy, which, like, last night there was some huge reaction because of, there's some spoilers. But yeah, basically, like, everyone on Twitter was talking about it again. And I was like,
how?
We're really here? I watched 5 seasons of that show back in high school. And we're still, like, being, like, very surprised by Grey's Anatomy. It's fucking crazy.
It's just too much. It's like the bar for entry is way too big on these shows that have an insane amount of seasons.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
On that note, talking about TV, are you guys going to tune into the Gossip Girl reboot? I had no idea this was even happening until there's a photo of the new cast on the stairs of the Met, right? And it's like the very classic Gossip Girl background. Very different cast, much more diverse, which is great. And a lot of the creators have talked about that. And they're like leaning into the modern experience. It sounds as though these people will still have like a great amount of privilege. They'll be like, you know, the rich elite New York people with like the Dan Humphreys also in there. So yeah, it'll be a different, much better, much more improved show. But are you guys going to tune in? This is like kind of like our high school days, at least for me.
Yeah, I would say yes, but I think I might just be past the Gossip Girl phase in my life. Like, I loved it at the time and I still like nostalgically have joy for it. But
yeah,
I might watch it. I might give it a shot, but I'm not optimistic, I have to say.
Yeah, the other thing, it's like talking, you know, obviously social media will play such a role in it. And that's also been talked about by the new creators. And it's just like, yeah, I know. Like, it kind of, I can kind of assume Gossip Girl was really cool because social media was like not that big. And it was like this also kind of like blind item or whatever they name names, but like a gossip website. Now it's like, what, you're going to take a Snapchat? And then it's like, oh, I don't know. I want to plot about that.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
And is this going to be on like the CW?
It's actually a fantastic question. I don't know. I literally saw this photo, read an article from an interview with one of the creators. Was like, what?
I would assume
it'll be in spirit, if not actually on the CW. Like, it's true. To its core, will be a CW show.
And I think if they wanted to really compete with like Euphoria and stuff, they would have to bump it up to Showtime. You know,
True. And I also don't know that I want another Euphoria.
Well,
The teens don't want the censored shit when they can get the uncensored shit. You know?
Right? So true. Like, exactly.
Yeah.
So true. Okay, let's do the last category. This is really fun. We've done like, you know, mailbags and stuff, but we're just thinking about all the great DMs you guys send us. And it's so much fun to hear from you. So we're going to do like a little, you know, like reaction category to some of the stuff that you've all been sending. Some key takeaways. Amelia, you can definitely speak more to this. Everybody is shopping and I feel so much more comforted than I did. Me buy my hairbrush and my hat and my whatever the hell. All of you guys are doing crazy things online too. Amelia, how many responses do we get on Instagram about all the shopping?
A bunch of responses. Yeah. Thank you guys. I'm pulling some up right now, actually. It was just great to see. Thanks. You know, and truly thank you every time you guys DM. We really appreciate it. I try to respond or at least give you a little heart. So if I don't, I apologize. I'm just busy. But just know that every time you write something, if it's, you know, respectable and not gross, you'll get a heart. If you say something that is not very respectable, you will get blocked. Just know that.
That's a social media professional right there, folks.
Those are the rules.
Doesn't fuck around.
Exactly. So all of you men listening, you're not getting away with it, sir. You're not getting away with it. Some fun stuff that people bought. I would say we got a lot of like candle things, a lot of nail polish. Marmo the Magician, great Instagram name. Stress purchased mom jeans. That's
hell
fun.
Yeah. Nice. That's Liz Kelly purchase.
Hell yeah. Exactly. Danielle Clark 9 purchased a Webkinz account. Sure.
Amazing. What is a Webkinz account?
Liz, you never had Webkinz?
No, what is that?
Danielle, I want to know if you got the actual Webkinz with it or you just bought the account. Because it used to be you bought a stuffed animal and it came with a code and you would go online and like you would have a little world for your stuffed animal and you would play
my
with other Webkinz.
My little cousins were really into that, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I was into it. So, sure.
Is Silvana Onana purchased a mini crock pot for queso, which I absolutely
love. Oh my God. Just for queso? Like a queso crock pot?
It seems like it's just for
I
queso.
I love that she clarified that. Yeah. I was like, this is not a very respectable purchase, but I'm only using it
for guests. So,
only the important stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I just felt like very, very happy with like all the things you guys, I thought I was alone in this. I no longer feel alone for sure. And also like get a lot of good feedback, Camellia, right? Like I talked about First Aid Beauty Moisturizer. Everyone apparently loves it. So I will probably be stress purchasing that as well. And for like, you know, the 1 to 2 people that cared, my white hat actually did not end up working out. It looks quite ugly. Doesn't fit my head right. It's really stiff and large, and I just can't do it. So I will be returning that.
Please send a picture to the group so we can advise and give a final word.
Sure. I know. We need like a close. I need like the internet at large to not see it, but I can like disclose to the tea time contingent. That
at least send it to us. Come on.
Okay. And then very quickly, I will continue my Schitt's Creek quest. Thank you guys for the input. I guess season 3 is where it's at, and I shall continue. I'm halfway through too, so I'll keep you all posted.
Just keep pushing through.
I also wanted to apologize to Rachel on Twitter, who called me out for not recommending Little Mix last week when we did our music recs. Little Mix are still my pop queens. They are better than Fifth Harmony. They always were. They always will be. And they're still out there crushing it. and their new album is really good. So I'm sorry for the oversight, rectifying it now. Stan Little Mix.
I think one of my favorite Little Mix moments doesn't even have to do with them singing. It's the Malegna. Have you seen Malegna?
I know exactly what that is.
With Jesse, I think it was. Uh-huh. She's like, do a Jamaican accent. And she's like, Malegna. They're all like, what the fuck did you just say?
We'll put that on Twitter. The world needs to see that.
It's really good. Malegna. Yeah. Also, just thank you guys so much for all the cringe mode suggestions. We do read them and we do put them in a giant doc. So don't think just because we didn't do it, we aren't going to do it for the future.
Mm-hmm. National Treasure came like months and months ago. So
yes, from many
people. Just take some time.
Yes. And it's funny. A lot of you have the same recommendations. So you're all on the same page. So good job.
Nice. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. We just love the teabaggers or whatever we call them.
I guess that's the name. I'm pretty sure that's the name now.
I'm more comfortable saying that on mic now than I was a couple months ago. So we all are growing.
That's growth. That's personal growth.
Yes. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Kaya, our beloved producer.
Yes.
I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Alwell.
And I'm Amelia Lattimore.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.